morning, Mr. Chairman. I want to share with you some thoughts about children. Sometimes we talk directly to children, and in a way, I am this morning. Sometimes we talk to parents, in a way, talking to parents this morning. Sometimes we talk to grandparents, and in a way, I'm talking to grandparents this morning. And I know that we have some great grandparents in here. We're very proud of that. We're very proud of you in that regard. I've said before, and I believe it's so true, we have so many beautiful families. We have these precious little babies that have been born recently that we talked about a little while ago. We have those children that are so active after a little bit of growth, and some of them are wound really tight, and they're just everywhere. We love that. We appreciate that. We don't want them to be different. We want them to be active and on the go. And sometimes it's a little embarrassing. It's a little frustrating. To those of you who are parents, it's a little bit more humorous. To those of us who have had children that have gone through that stage, our children that have been wound tight have been out there doing things that your children are now doing, and we can smile because we don't have to go through that training process with them. But our children are unthinkably special. It's a great blessing to see families where children are treated special. We have a lot of those here. I'm very thankful for that. I want to encourage that. We need our children to feel as though they fit into the family. I was watching a movie the other day about a father and a son, and the father was talking about what all he had tried to do for his son, and the guy playing the role of the son said, "You've never been a father to me." The guy was full grown. To say, "You've never been a father to me," would be so unthinkably difficult to say. Here's a young man who grew up in a home, and we have lots of young folks there that way down, growing up in homes where they do not really feel a part, where they do not feel like we are treating them as special. On the other hand, every culture that's ever existed has reared children who were made to feel more special than everybody else. We call that spoiled. When we feel like we're more special than everybody else, that is, obviously my children mean more to me in some ways than your children mean to me. For example, I don't feel responsible for buying your child lunch every week. If I have a child, I feel responsible for buying their lunch at school every week. So we have different levels of thinking and how we treat each other. But we have children that grow up thinking that everybody is going to give them what their parents have given them, and they deserve it. And when we teach our children those kinds of things, they become spoiled. And I wrote just a little blurb in the bulletin about this time of the year. It's a great time of the year. I love it. I have many great memories of this time of the year in my family. I still love it. I'm really kind of sad today thinking about a message I got from my youngest sister, who we call the little general. She gets us all together quite often. And she said, things are happening in so many directions that we're not going to be able to get together as a family before Christmas, maybe in January. I hate that. I wish we were getting together today. But that's not going to happen. Those memories of those times getting together are really, really special for me. I'm not sure it is as special to my other brothers and sisters for me to be with them as it is for them to be with me. But when we start thinking about the pleasures that we have and the fun that we have now, this is a time of the year where it's awfully difficult not to get our kids everything they want. And the wants are so powerful and they're so high. And sometimes families put themselves in a bind trying to do things for children that put the rest of the family in a bind economically. And it's very hard. We're trying to keep up with our neighbors who may have a greater allotment of money for Christmas than we do. It's really frustrating, and it's hard to deal with. What I want us to think about this morning is trying to make our children feel special but not spoiled. And as you see, family counselor John Roseman states, letting your child know he's special to you is healthy. I want to emphasize that. It is unthinkably healthy for my children to know that I care about them. I've got to tell you, one of the two or three most disappointing things in my relationship with my children is to have heard them say, I did this for you and you weren't there. That's pretty tough to deal with as a parent. When you want your children to feel special, it's a healthy kind of thing. But no child should grow up thinking he's more special than others, to think that he's more deserving of a position or of some award or of some kind of thing. I was reading an article this morning about millennials, and the millennials have a lot of struggles in their lives, and it's real. And one of the things that was being said in that particular setting is that they are constantly being accused of being people who think they deserve everything. They feel entitled to everything. And yet, when you look at what is happening, there are some very difficult things happening in their lives. But when we start thinking about the reality of us trying to make our children believe that everybody ought to give them what they want, if they want a position at school or if they want a position in a job, everybody should give our children what they want. We all want that. We want that. But when we teach them, that's what they deserve. Rosemond continues to say that a child, he warns, is likely to think he's also deserving of special things and special privileges. If he thinks that, he'll easily justify some forms of misbehavior. And he lists for us outbursts of hurtful anger, selfishness, jealousy. When they don't get what they want, they react in these kinds of ways. And when we start thinking about our children, we want them to be good. If you want to know the truth, ask a child. They'll almost always tell you the truth. It's embarrassing sometimes, isn't it? What our children have said to other people sometimes. We're thinking maybe the same thing, but our children say it. And we get a little bit embarrassed. Here are some things that 10-year-olds say about parents. Number one, grown-ups make promises, then they forget all about them. Or else they say it wasn't really a promise, just a maybe. Some of you parents and grandparents, you are so busy. You're doing and running and going, and there's so many things in your life. And you tell your children, I will get this done. And then you get busy. It's not that you did not want to get it done. You didn't mean to get it done. But we forget. Our 10-year-olds look at us as though we really didn't mean what we said. They say grown-ups don't do the things they're always telling the children to do. Like pick up their things or be neat or always tell the truth. 10-year-olds see more than we think they're seeing sometimes. Grown-ups never really listen to what children have to say. They always decide ahead of time what they are going to answer. So we need to be thoughtful. Grown-ups interrupt children all the time and think nothing of it. If a child interrupts a grown-up, he gets a scolding or something worse, the 10-year-old says. Grown-ups make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend that they weren't really mistakes, or somebody else is responsible for whatever mistake that was made. Grown-ups never understand how much children want a certain thing. That is a certain color of something, a certain shape of something. If it's something that they don't admire, you see, we rule. If we don't like it, we don't want our children to like it. If it's not good for us, we don't want it to be good for our children sometimes. That's the point of view of a 10-year-old. Sometimes grown-ups punish children unfairly. It isn't right if you've done just some little thing wrong and grown-ups take away something that means an awful lot to you. Other times you can do something really, really bad and they say they're going to punish you, but they don't. You never know, and you ought to know. Isn't that interesting that a 10-year-old would say, you ought to know what the rules are, but sometimes you just don't. Grown-ups are always talking about what they did and what they knew when they were 10 years old, but they never try to think what it's like to be a 10-year-old right now. You know, if I said to even my daughter Meg, who's in the audience, who is not a small child, but she's my child, but at her stage in life, if I decided to say, Meg, I remember exactly the way it was when I was your age. I don't remember that. And how much more true would it be to my grandchildren if I say, listen, I was there. I know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through because we're different for one thing. We feel differently. I was talking to a young lady on one occasion whose father had died. And she had had a close relationship with her father. She had lived at home with him, and he was special to her. She was special to him. They grew up all the way into the late years of college, and her dad died. It would not be fair for me to say, listen, I know how you feel. Because, you see, I don't. I didn't grow up with my dad all the way through college. And so our lives are different. We view grief differently. We think about things differently. And our children are so different than we were. As much as we would like to think they are a major chip off the old block, they are very different than we are. How do we provoke children to anger? We read that passage all the time, don't we? We frustrate our children sometimes in these ways, according to psychologists. We say one thing and do another. You don't need a psychologist to know that, do you? We say one thing and then do another. We always blame and never praise. Well, I think that's a slight overstatement, but sometimes if we aren't careful, the blaming is far greater in our lives than praising is in our lives, and we present such a negative outlook. We are often, as the 10-year-old stated, unfair with discipline. We just tear their heart out when they embarrass us or hurt our feelings a little bit. And then sometimes they do something really sad and we don't do hardly anything about it. We seem to let it go. We show favoritism in the home. Clearly, we do not treat our children alike in the specific sense. The only way we can treat you all alike is to be consistent because you all are so different. If you have brothers and sisters, you all are different. My children were all three different. When you take a look at children in this room, there are some children in this room that are compliant. And they will do what they're told generally. There are some children in this room, I'm confident, who are not quite as compliant and have to be reminded and have to be reminded and have to be reminded to do things. You don't treat those children alike. You cannot treat those children alike. But what you can do is be as consistent as you can be and be fair and not show favoritism when children really are alike. We make promises and don't keep them. That's what 10-year-olds say. Psychologists say the same thing. We make light of concerns the child feels. It is not that bad. There are things that break our children's hearts that we don't understand. And we are not very empathetic sometimes. It's hard to stand in their shoes because we're way past that. And we don't deal with those trivial things anymore. But we need to be thinking about how deeply our children feel about something that occurred in their life. And then sometimes we are unreasonably restrictive. Now, all of us know that there are parents that are overly free in terms of letting their children do things. They're both extremes, and neither is good. But isn't it interesting that this is the one the psychologists mention instead of the other? Because this seems to be more prevalent. We are so restrictive. We don't want our children doing anything. And I look back at things that I did as a 10-year-old and 11-year-old that I remember, and I know that I was that age because I lived in a certain place and moved right after that age. And so I remember those things at that specific age. I would die if my children or grandchildren had tried to do or did such things as I did that were not mean or anything, just things that could have created a problem physically or otherwise. I could have been hurt doing some things. Now, I wouldn't consider that at all. So we are so restrictive sometimes, we don't let our children do what they need to do. So we've looked at some things that psychologists say about our children and how we treat them. What do we need to do as a family of God's people? Well, when you read Psalm 139 in those four verses there, you're going to see God knew every one of us as we were being formed. As our very nature was being developed, God knew us. Every one of us is special to God. Our children ought to be special to us. And we should affirm that. Every child in this room, regardless of how old they are, needs to feel they are special. We have children in this room with parents who are in their 70s or 80s, and those children are 40, 50. Those 40 and 50-year-olds need to feel special because of the way parents treat them, love them, care about them. It seems so easy to show these little babies that we care for them. We want to hold them and we want to hug them and we talk goofy to them. And we just show them in so many ways how special they are. And we need to do that. But when they get to be at a certain age and they begin to develop independence, it's hard for us to treat them in the same ways. And we cannot in many ways, but they still need to be made to feel special. They are unique creations of God, and they need to know that. One of the things that we need to do is acknowledge who we are spiritually. One of the things that frustrates me sometimes is our present day of preaching is to feel like we have to talk about how sad our spiritual lives are, and I am there. We talk about it. We need to talk about it to some degree. But in every sermon, there are some people that feel the need to let everybody in the world know I am a terrible, horrible, sinful person. I don't have a real problem with that. What I have a problem with is when they leave themselves there. When they've been baptized into Christ, they've been washed, they've been cleansed, they have been made whole, they've been made holy, they've been made blameless, but they leave themselves there because that's what our culture wants us to do, is acknowledge the fact that we have faults. We all need to do that. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We need to acknowledge our shortcomings to our children. We need to do that. And that every person in this room is in need of God's saving grace and needs to make a proper response to God. We need to teach our children that. When we start thinking about bringing our children up, training and admonition of the Lord, as we heard read a little while ago, we need that. Every child in this room, it doesn't matter how old they are in that process of growing up, they need the training and admonition of the Lord. That is to say, here are ways in which I need my life improved. And we need to help them see ways in which their lives need to be improved spiritually. And that needs to be done. It's always needed to be done everywhere we are. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Teach your children. Make sure they know that God is the focus of life. That without that focus, doesn't matter what we accomplish in this world, our lives mean nothing. We need to be teaching all the time. How significant is it that we let our children know about God, about His will, about God's requirements, about how encouraging we can be to other people if we obey and if we teach. But when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk alongside the road, we need to be teaching our children. That's the way it's always been. And we need that today. We do not want to tolerate disobedience. When a child is disobedient, it needs to be confronted. And just because I've made mistakes doesn't mean I ought to let the mistakes of my children go or my grandchildren. We need to help them understand that disobedience is sad, is hurtful, and it can be eternally sad and eternally hurtful. We need to teach them to love God. First and great commandment. Love your neighbor, love others, as you love yourself. You need to learn to love yourself. And this concept of love is not this deep-seated romantic feeling that we sometimes talk about with love. It's a matter of looking at God and wanting to do for God what God desires us to do for Him. Looking at others and putting their needs ahead of our own and giving them a special place. And then taking care of our own needs by doing what we need to do. We need that. Our children need that. And so this morning, as we think about this very special time of the year of gift giving, make our children feel special. But be thoughtful about spoiling. God continually opens our eyes to needs that all of us have. We are problem people. We are going to have sin in our lives. We're going to have trouble in our lives. No one in this room will be excluded from that. But God's love is constant. He is always reaching out to us, as He is this morning. And there's nothing in this world greater than being a child of God. And I can tell you this, God has done everything He can do to make you feel special this morning. God won't spoil you. He's going to discipline every person that He loves. God's going to require obedience. And so, leaving Him out of your life cannot be good, cannot help. This morning, maybe that you have never told God how much you appreciate what He's done to help you. Maybe you haven't done that by obeying His will to come into His family and to be born into His family through this tremendous act of baptism, where we say to God, don't want to be the sinful person that I am on my own. I want to be clean. I want to be whole. I want to be holy. Yes, I've made mistakes, but forgive me. I'm willing to be buried with you and be raised to walk in newness of life. There are people that do that and then go back to the world. What a great opportunity today to let God know that you believe that He's special because He's already acknowledged how special you are by sending His Son to give you a chance to obey even this morning. If you need to in any way, we want to encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.